Morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to that you already had. It's great to have you with us today. My name is Luke, for those of you who might not know, and it's my joy to open up God's Word. I wonder if you ever have it at work, when you go to work and you realize it's just one of those days. Do you ever have those days? I think I'm having one of those days. Between the sound, between other issues, and then sitting, listening to Tiff reading, and realizing I gave her the wrong reading. not the wrong reading, just not enough of the reading. It is the right reading. We are doing Luke chapter 1. But the whole point of our Christmas series is to look at the songs. And if you haven't worked it out yet, you haven't heard the song. So I'm going to, before I pray, I'm going to read the rest of the passage that I was supposed to have asked to be read. So do keep Luke chapter 1 open. We're looking specifically at Mary's song, and I'll explain why in a moment. Let me read for you, carry on reading from Luke chapter 1 in verse 46. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors." Well, let me pray for us as we start. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that we can spend some time together in it this morning. Lord, our prayer as we begin our Christmas series, as we really think about Advent and what it means for Jesus to come into the world, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be receptive to you and to your voice. Especially, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today as we think of this passage. May we hear your voice. And most importantly, as we hear your voice, help us, Lord, we pray, to see Jesus. And it's his name that we ask this morning. Amen. As we sit here this morning, I wonder what words best describe how you are feeling as you finish this year. Just take a moment, think about that. If you had to sum up in a word how you're feeling right now at the end of 2024, I wonder what word that would be. Maybe for some of you, it would be the word happy, joyful, excited, mainly because you're a teenager and you're already on school holidays. My guess is that for the vast majority of us, it would probably be words like tired, exhausted, frustrated, weary. We're still working. And the truth is, the end of the year can't come quick enough. We just want it to be over's cadavers. For some of us, as we feel that weariness at the end of the year, some of us are weary because of the busyness of life, but some of us will be weary because of the heartaches of life. Because life's hard. Life's tough. It's not all ups. The truth is, there's a whole bunch of downs as well. Of course, as we think about weariness from a biblical perspective, we have to say that weariness in the Bible is more than just physical, and it's more than just emotional. In fact, in the Bible, it's always spiritual. It's spiritual. It's the result of us being out of sync with God. It's the result of us not being in right relationship with him in the way we are meant to be. That's why we are weary in the world. Of course, Christmas changes all of that. And I hope, I know I've got a bit of a reputation of being the Christmas Grinch, mainly because I am. I don't like all the trees and the frills and the chutzes and stuff, but I love the fact that Christmas fundamentally changed everything. I don't know if you picked up, it was a reason we sang O Holy Night, and you'll see, we're going to sing it a few times in this Christmas season, because there's a beautiful line in it. I don't know if you picked it up as the singers sang for us. There's one line that says, "A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices. See, Christmas is the time that we have hope, and we have an opportunity to turn our sadness and sorrow into joy and delight. Why? Because when Jesus came into the world, he gives a weary world reason to rejoice. Luke records that for us in the way he structures his opening chapters. Not this Luke, Bible Luke, okay? He structures in the first two chapters of his gospel, he puts four songs for us, showing what God did in sending his son Jesus demands that we respond with praise, demands that we respond with celebration, demands that we rejoice, even if we are feeling weary. And God has done an incredible thing in sending Jesus into the world. And that should cause us to break into song. Please, let me just, a health warning, I won't break into song vocally. But I want us to get that sense that we should be celebrating. And in Luke's gospel, the first of the four songs is Mary's song that I read for us in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through to 56. You might have heard of it before as the Magnificat. You might not have, but that's okay. All right. It's known as a song of praise, and it's called the Magnificat because that's the first word in the Latin version of this, the Magnificat. Mary sings a song of rock-solid gospel truth and gospel wonder. It's a heartfelt song rooted in Scripture. It's a song of praise. And what Mary does as we start looking at this passage is you'll see she praises God for her blessing. She praises God for her blessing. See, Mary understands that in and of herself, she's actually unimpressive. The truth is, she doesn't bring much to the table. Now, I don't mean that in a horrible or unkind way. We've got to remember that Mary is, this is written, just a young girl. She's only just making her way in the world. She's in all likelihood just entering her teens. I just have a look around. Well, some of them have left and gone out. But just look around the room. Think of our young teens, 13, 14. That's the picture here of Mary. And so she understands her own her own humble state. She understands that. She understands she has no material wealth. She understands that she has very little to contribute. But here's what she does do. She says, I am God's servant. See, that's what she can contribute. She is willing and she is eager to serve her God however he wants her to. And will you notice that God showers great blessing upon her? As she will be the mother of God incarnate. As she will become the mother of God in flesh. If you didn't pick it up, it was in the earlier reading, verse 35. Just have a look. This is what she's told when the angel comes to visit her. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I've never been pregnant. I look pregnant sometimes, but I've never been pregnant. I imagine, though, there is a thrill when you are discovering that. I imagine, well, in ordinary circumstances, we're excited about that, aren't we? I want you to feel for a moment just the wonder when that angel says to Mary, not just that Mary, you will be pregnant, and not just Mary that you will have a child, but your child will be God in the flesh. Your child will be the Son of the Most High. I mean, we're so familiar with the story, but just feel the weight of that being told to a 13-year-old girl. Do you sense something of the wonder and the marvel of it? Now, interestingly, Mary's not horrified. She's not running for the hills at that moment. Now, Mary understands that God has actually shown her great kindness. In fact, he has bestowed this blessing on her, which will mean her name will be forever written in history. Look at verse 48. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Oh, she's so thrilled. She's so excited. She can do nothing but praise God. I wonder if it's worth just pausing for a moment just to say that divine blessing ordinarily, generally, follows faithful obedience and humble servanthood. So many people live in this world and they want God's blessing. Well, it comes when you are going to be his willing, obedient servant. And that's how God ordinarily blesses his people, through their faithfulness and through their humility. Of course, as we come back to Mary, she knows it's actually got nothing to do with her. She knows that. She knows it's not about her being worthy, but about God being merciful. She knows that it's not about her doing good, but about the Mighty One doing great things for her. Now, Mary understands from start to finish her blessing is all because of God. And she recognizes that. And because she recognizes that, she looks beyond the gift and she praises the giver. She praises God for her blessing. But here's the thing. She praises God for his brilliance. See, she wants God to be the focus of her attention. He's the one she wants glorified. Go back to verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That word glorifies is actually the word magnifies, hence the Latin magnificat. It's actually the word magnifies. And if you think about magnifying, well, to magnify is to enlarge. It's to take something and make it bigger so that it can be clearly seen. And what we read as Mary sings is that she enlarges her vision of God so that you and I will see his greatness. So we'll see him for as he is, so we too will rejoice in God's brilliance. Just look at the passage and see what she does. She celebrates his attributes. She celebrates his mercy extended to those who fear him throughout the generations. She celebrates his mighty deeds performed with his arm. She celebrates and praises him for his defeat of Israel's enemies when he brought down rulers from their thrones. She praises him because he has filled the hungry with good things. She praises because of his faithfulness to all he promised to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants. She praises God from start to finish. She praises God for his mighty power and for his gracious mercy. She praises God for his pristine holiness and his everlasting faithfulness. She praises God for his character and she praises God for his conduct. Here's her song. It's very simple. God, you are the only one worthy of praise. All praise and glory and honor to you and to you alone. That's the song she sings. God alone is worthy of praise. Of course, it's worth asking. It's worth asking today in the fact that this story is so familiar to so many of us. I wonder if as we see the Christmas story, we remember to see the brilliance of God in the midst of it. I wonder if it's so ordinary to us and so we're so familiar that the wow and the wonder and the splendor of God sending his son into the world, I wonder if that's been lost on us. I wonder if you are like, oh, it's Christmas. Are you feeling that? I mean, let's be honest. Christmas comes at like the worst time of the year, don't you find? We're finished and we're exhausted. And now we've got to be joyful. And then the family say they want to come and visit. Oh. Uh-huh. And so the problem is we lose something of the brilliance of God and what he's doing. But Mary is captivated not with her blessing, but with the one who blesses her. And Mary has a big vision of God, and her heart is that he is glorified alone. And so as we come into this Christmas season, remember that Christmas, rightly understood, should magnify the brilliance of God for you. Should lift him up and say, don't forget just how wonderful and amazing he is that while you and I were still sinners, he sent his son into the world for us. You see, when we think of that and when we see God's kindness and when we see God's mercy and when we remember his mighty deeds, it should lead us to want to praise him. And so can I, in the midst of all your Christmas shopping and in the midst of all your Christmas preparations and in the midst of having to get ready for the family who want to come up for a holiday by the coast, can I please remind you not to lose sight of God in the midst of Christmas? Don't lose sight of what he has done for you. Celebrate, praise, worship him. And even more so, when you see two very important things that Mary sings about in this song. See, as she praises God for his brilliance, she is reminded that one of the things God does with people is he lifts the humble. Did you pick that up? He lifts the humble. I look down at verse 52. God has reached down in mercy and lifted up the humble. Of course, within the context, Mary is the perfect example of this. But of course, her son will become an even better example of this as we follow the story. You see, here is a young girl who humbled herself before God, and he lifts her up. Lifts her up so that in every generation, not only will she be praised, but we have the reminder that in every generation, God will show mercy to the humble. Look at verse 50. He will show mercy to the humble, to those who fear him. To those who fear him. One writer reminds us that to fear God means to cherish, reverence, and respect God. It's not to be afraid of him, but to honor him lovingly by avoiding what is contrary to his will and by striving after what pleases him. And here is the promise that Christmas holds for us. God-fearing people like Mary will be lifted up no matter how low their situation in life. Let that just wash over you again. God-fearing people like Mary will be lifted up no matter how low their situation in life. See, here is the great promise and great news, actually. If you and I humble ourselves before God, he will exalt us. He will exalt us. I just think about it for a moment, because there is some similarity between you and Mary, between me and Mary. See, like Mary, we too were undeserving nobodies. We didn't deserve anything. Yet God, rich in mercy, reached down and blessed us through the Son he sent into the world. See, that is why Christmas is so special to us, isn't it? Because it's when we humble ourselves before him, we are reminded that he sent his Son so that we might be lifted up. When we throw ourselves on him, come in humility, depending on his mercy, he lifts us up in his love. It's why we too, just like Mary, can declare my God and my Savior. He's the one we can rejoice in. It's why Christmas should be a time of us giving thanks and celebrating. Because we who were low in Christ have been lifted up. Well, frankly, you might not look very impressive. Maybe you don't have anything to contribute. Maybe you know you've messed up and you've made mistakes. But here's the thing, you know you need help. And you hunger and thirst for God. You throw yourself on his mercy. Well, these are the very people that God reaches out to. These are the very people that he lifts up. These are the very people that he fills with good things. Of course, one or two of you are going to be a bit cynical and say, so when's this lifting up happening, buddy? Because I'm trying to be humble. And I'm trying to be merciful, resting in his mercy, but it's just not happening yet. Well, one of my spiritual gifts is the gift of discouragement. And so we do need to understand that the promise is that God will always lift the humble. That is the promise. But sometimes that lifting up is not always in this world. Sometimes it's like ministers who work for low money, but our pension fund is out of this world. See, that's how it is for us. Yes, I understand that in this world we may still feel the weariness. And I understand that in this world we may still feel the struggles and heartaches of this world. I understand that. And when a preacher tells you anything different, they don't understand the scriptures, quite frankly. But here is the promise. The promise is that the day is coming because Jesus has already been. The day is coming when you humble yourself now, he will lift you up for all eternity. He will raise you up and seat you in the heavenly realm. You see, I don't know what tomorrow necessarily holds for you. I'm not sure whether you've been good or bad and what presents you're going to get at Christmas time. But here's what I know. I know that if you will humble yourself before the Lord, if you will trust in the Savior he sent into the world, your future, your eternal future, is out of this world. And it is glorious. And it is wonderful. And it is better than you could ever imagine. And so as we come to Christmas this season, will you remember that Christmas is about God showing his mercy in sending a son into the world so that those who humble themselves will be lifted. It's a song of praise, isn't it? And we must feel that praise today. But it is also a song of warning. Of warning. You see, as much as God lifts the humble, we've also got to understand from this song that God lowers the proud. He lowers the proud. You see that as Mary moves beyond what God did for her, she remembers how God has defeated Israel's enemies. Look at verse 51, as he scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. Verse 52, as he brought down rulers from their thrones. Verse 53, as he sent the rich away empty. See, don't we sometimes look at those people? The powerful and the rich. Don't we sometimes look at them and say, oh, if only. If only. Isn't sometimes power and wealth the very things we aspire for in this world? And yet Mary's song reminds us that God lowers the proud. He humbles those who think they've got it all. She looks at God's past deeds and looks to the future ones where he will do that again. See, here's the truth of the Bible. God humbles those who think more of themselves than they ought to. God humbles those who are fed by their own achievements and success in this world with no regard for him. God humbles those who think of themselves as self-sufficient with no need for God. These are the people God will scatter. He will scatter them. Whether the proud who love positions of power or the rich who care nothing about the poor. You see, God lifts the humble, but he humbles the proud. And in Mary's conception, that has begun. That has begun. Because God does both the lifting of the humble and the lowering of the proud. He does that through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came that first Christmas. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote, talking about Jesus and us in our pride, he says this, he says, can you not see that everything that man boasts in, his intellect, his understanding, his power, his social status, his influence, his righteousness, his morality, his ethics, his code, every one of them is utterly demolished by the Son of God. The proud will be humbled, which means Mary's song actually warns us. It warns us. See, it might be that you've just got your report and you think you're pretty cool. You don't have to study too hard to get your results. You might think it's okay. It might be you're about to get your Christmas bonus. And you say, some of you are saying, Christmas bonus? and you want to pat yourself on the back and you say, look how wonderful I've been all year. See, it might be as we sit here today, we live in a world that puffs us up. We live in a world where we are tempted to puff ourselves up, to make a name for ourselves. Do you know that I've got 14 followers on Instagram now? I don't actually have an Instagram account. I don't even know how to get Instagram on my phone, but anyway. But that's what we have all these accolades, and what are we trying to do? We're trying to affirm ourselves. We're trying to puff ourselves up. We're trying to say to the world, look how wonderful I am. And here's what God says. He says, look, you better humble yourself. You better humble yourself, because if you don't, the day is coming when I will. And you can be sure of that. You know why? Because Jesus was born in a manger that very first Christmas. See, God, Christmas is not just God coming in mercy to lift the humble. Now, Christmas points me to the truth that God also comes in might to humble the proud. He will overcome the selfish, and he will overcome the uncaring, and he will destroy the unloving, and he will bring justice to the unjust, and he will do all of that through Jesus. And so we need to remember that this Christmas. He says, we think about God in all of his brilliance. At this Christmas, we should sing with Mary. We should. And we should sing the praises of God. We should sing his praises because in his mercy and might, he has sent Jesus. But we must remember, he sent Jesus to humble the proud and to lift the humble. Let's pray together.